Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Last Christian. We are on Bible study day, so we're going to have some fun today. Still talking about the Ark. I told you every once in a while we get stuck on a topic because there's so much in there. And basically, the Ark is a type of Christ, so there's an awful lot in there. JD, can you believe it? We're still on the Ark.
I can believe it, because if you remember when we first started this subject, you sent me the immediate notes, the first set of notes. And mm-hmm. I looked at them and I was like, okay, we're going to be here a while. So it is not a surprise at all. But the beautiful thing about it, though, David, is always learn something from it. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's really not taught, you know, to any kind of deep degree in any church I've ever been in, or any Sunday school, or any teaching for that matter. You teach the chapter pretty quick and you move on, mm-hmm. you know,
and, yeah, and they can't answer it.
Yeah.
I mean, so, in subsequent shows, we're going to get into, the creation part of it too, with the animals and all that. But today we're going to talk about the dimensions and the symbolism of the Ark too.
Okay. Okay. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So would you pray?
Sure. Well, happy to. Father, we come to you and ask for your direction in the show today, and to get your word out there to everyone that needs this information, and hopefully that we can, through this show and through what we are able to provide, will lead one individual at least, if not more, to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is the goal of this show. That's his only purpose. And we ask that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. So I can see, JD, that you did order rain to fit with the motif of the show.
I did, David. We are under a severe thunderstorm watch. So if you guys hear the thunder and the lightning, just understand that, you know, that's just the Lord providing us with some good rain we need down here in East Texas.
Yeah. Well, let's go with this. We ordered it special for the show as background sound effect.
That'll work. That'll work. I'm into that. I'm into that. That's, it does fit perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. God's good. He's like, oh wait, this should be fun.
Yeah.
What's that? This is like the platypus. That's gonna be fun too. Who invented that thing? All right, so the biblical dimensions of Noah's Ark.
Okay.
Now, we've been reading, and in Genesis 6:15, it tells us that it's 300 cubits mm-hmm. by 50 cubits, and then by 30 cubits high. Okay, usually the cubit is about 18 inches, which is typical.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's your elbow to, is that to the point of the hand? Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Tip. Okay. Just so you can measure, it's real easy to measure.
Yeah, okay, okay. Because I had wondered most of my life exactly what a cubit was. I had it explained several years ago, but, you know, still, to measure like that, you know, well, I mean, back then they didn't have measuring tape, right?
Yeah, yeah, they had laser measures, I think. They have that. And then a span is when you do this, and it's like top to bottom. Mm. So it's typically 8.5 inches or so.
Okay. Okay.
But it just made it easy to measure. It's mm-hmm. a span.
Yeah.
And then the cubit and the span. And then, so things were tied to what you normally have on you, mm-hmm. as opposed to having them a tape measure.
Yeah.
And an inch, I think it was, it goes from Enoch. I think it's like here to here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it came from Enoch. Inch, Enoch, inch,
mm-hmm.
Enoch.
Mm-hmm. Kind of okay. Makes sense.
You know, speaking of Enoch, we should get into the whole pyramid thing one day.
Yeah.
I'd do more research on that mm-hmm. and all the crazy stuff they found underneath the pyramid.
Underneath, then, yeah.
And then they said that that's not even it. There's more underneath that.
Wow. Man, the more they dig, the more they find. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, yeah, that leads us to the altar that's in the middle and on the border. So, whoa, timeout. But anyway, let's get back to the Ark.
Okay.
So basically it says the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. Mm-hmm. So if you got a 10 cubit deck, because it's, you know, there's three stories, mm-hmm. and, you know, minus it. So let's say it's 9, that, you know, allow for planks and stuff, okay. 9 cubits high. So that's high enough for the animals.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that 9 cubits, that'd be, let's say 9 plus 4.5, 14 feet.
Well, let me ask you this. Again, you know me, stupid question comes to mind. There's no reason why every one of those levels had to be exactly the same, right?
That's correct. You might, because you could have a bigger level. So yeah. He's got the regular level, maybe mm-hmm. it's 7 feet tall, mm-hmm. and that's got all the little animals in it, mm-hmm. you know, and which would leave room for the bigger animals.
Yeah,
because
I'm thinking giraffe, you know, giraffe or something like that, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I can see where they could, you know, he probably built the levels, and that's just, you know, my.
Yeah, or maybe like the nursery school stuff and his giraffe's head's popping out the top.
Yeah, I've seen those.
It's like, nah, not exactly it. Nice try, though.
Yeah, well and again, we pointed out last week, or you did, that these are younger animals, too. So that doesn't mean, mm-hmm. you know, so if you got two younger giraffes, they might not even hit an 8-foot ceiling. Who knows?
Yeah, and plus, I mean, you can have three levels, but then at the end, you just have all three levels as one.
Yeah. There
in
you
other
go.
Words, it mm-hmm. stops, and you got like a, you know, balcony kind of a
right,
thing.
Right,
and then you
right.
look over. Yeah. So that's interesting. I just know that if God wrote it, and then that's what it is. So
yes.
we'll get to see it one day. That'll be fun.
Yeah. On that topic, before we move on, you know, I had mentioned a couple of shows ago that there was a gentleman that wrote into us and was talking about the EMP situation and mm-hmm. All that. Okay, well, we got into a much more greater conversation about that.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, he's like, well, you know, it just can't be an EMP because, you know, the protections that they've got in these military facilities and all that. We're going to have all the, you know, they're going to have the tanks and they're going to have all that. And I said, well, yeah, that's possible. That's possible. But if God wants it to be fought the way that it's written in Ezekiel, then that's the way it's going to be fought. You know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, whether or not it's fought with a Stone Age weapon, not Stone Age, but you know what I mean, early weaponry, then that's how it'll be fought. If God wants it to be fought with modern weapons, then that's how it'll be fought. It's up to God. He's the one. He's the one that wrote it. He's the one that that decided how it's going to be written, and decided how it's going to be done, and it's already done in His mind. That's it.
That's right. That's the way it was written. I was a guy, a well-meaning, I guess, Christian. One mm-hmm. of the sites I was talking about. And I think we discussed this before, but I want to hear it again.
Okay.
So. He was talking about, you know, it was, you know, each day was like millions of years. And I'm like, well, you got a couple problems with that. Number one, that's not what he said.
Right.
Yeah, but God could do it that way if he wanted to. Well, sure.
Mm, sure.
Except, you know, the plants were made on day 3 and the sun wasn't here till day 4. So it's kind of hard to have plants around for a million years without the sun, you know. And then... the plants need the animals.
Uh-huh.
They right. need the animals for, number one, because obviously all the bees and stuff, mm-hmm. so they wouldn't be around, and they weren't created till later. The beasts and the therion, that's the word that's used. So you kind of need bees mm-hmm. to pollinate everything. And then, you know, the animals got to, like, eat the plants and then crap it out so they got fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't have any room because the animals weren't made till day 6. So you just don't have it. So yeah. And I was just like, well, God could do it that way, and that's what it looks like. I said, no, you don't understand quantum physics, but here's the deal. Could God make it in 6 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if he wanted to. Could he say it was 6 million years each day? Yep, he could. All right, could it be 6,000 years each day? Yep, because one day is like 1,000 years. Could be. Yeah, could mm-hmm. be. But that's not what he said. Could it be 6 days? Yes, it could be 6 days. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what he wrote. So we're just going to go with what he wrote.
We're going to go
trying
with
to second guess what God wrote.
Yeah,
you know?
We're going to go with the, with the text.
I kind of see this, so it could be that. That's not what he wrote. It really doesn't matter what you can see, because the Bible's clear. You're blind, ignorant, and naked.
Well.
So you don't know nothing.
I go with the text. I go with text.
Yeah. So that's cool. And another reason I know the animals are small, do you ever hear the book of Jasher?
I've heard of it, David, but I haven't ever gone into it.
It's Yashar, actually.
Yeah, I need to write it.
Yashar. Yeah, Yashar, Y-A-S-H-A-R. We call it Jasher. It means the righteous, the book of the upright. So it's just a list of all the upright. So this isn't canonical. It's just a record keeping that was there.
Another reference.
But in that record keeping book of Jasher, it talks about a lion bringing her cubs over to Noah.
Oh, wow. Okay? Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, in chapter 6, it says, all living creatures came to Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh that was upon the earth, and then talks about, seven of the clean ones. And then it says, and a lioness came with her two whelps and bowed down to Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then and then they kind of yelled at her and told her to get lost because she wanted to go on it too. And they're like, nah, you're too old. Just us babies are going on.
Yeah,
so that's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it does present the idea that, okay, that makes sense that they were all, babies. That's why.
Yeah, and another point to be made there is that these animals were instructed by God to go. In other words, he called each one of these animals how that's done. That's him. That's beyond our ability to understand.
There's good reason to believe that before the fall, we could communicate with the animals.
Yeah. Well, and to some degree, we still can.
Yeah, and we can now. Matter of fact, I just watched a video today of dogs saying, I love you.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I was like, they always pop up on like Facebook and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh,
yeah.
There's another video. Yeah. And the people go, I love you. And you go, roo, roo, roo. I was like,
yeah, that's what it
was. That actually sounded good. And it was like a dozen of them. Okay, they got it. And some of them are really trying. You can see.
That's really cool.
One big dog. Rawr, rawr,
rawr.
Rawr, rawr, rawr.
I love it.
Rawr, rawr, rawr.
I love it. I fall for those kind of videos and watch them over and over again. Yeah. Okay.
So I know their brains are in there. It's just because of the fall. It's just like the Bible says, all creation groans and travails, looking forward for the manifestation of the sons of God. So when he restores it, I think we'll be able to talk to all these animals again.
Yeah, me too.
Like Dr. Doolittle. So that's going to be fun. All right. So we were talking about that, but today we wanted to talk about the dimensions a little bit. And so there's typology and symbolism. So we're going to go with some basic stuff.
Okay.
The means of salvation. There was only one ark. It's not like he made a whole fleet of different arks so he can bring like a whole bunch of people. And a whole bunch of animals. And by the same token, there's only one Savior.
Amen.
Okay, so you can't be saved via, this guy or that guy, or the newest Mahdi that came out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be the Pope's replacement now when he comes out. I saw his video, but he put one up today, too. Oh, yeah, my grandfather was reincarnated as Muhammad, and I'm his grandson. Like,
oh
there's the devil for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's in for a future surprise.
Yeah. Isn't he? No such thing, bro. But here we are. They didn't vote for a new pope yet, right?
No, they can't. They've got their 9 days of mourning, which started, Sunday? I think.
Oh, okay. So we got till next week sometime.
Yeah.
I know that'll date us. This is a recording at the end of April, beginning of May. So it was God's design, and it was built specifically to his specs. And in the same way, Jesus fulfills that because he fulfilled God's plan. He walked precisely. He said, I do only what the Father tells me to do.
Right.
And the same thing with Noah. He did that. It was covered inside and out. Okay, and to atone, so our insides and outsides are atoned to cover with Jesus' blood.
Okay.
And then there's only one door into it. So mm-hmm. Jesus says, I am the door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was to sustain life. So he's mm-hmm. got the ark preserved, the eight people that are on there.
Mm-hmm.
And eight is a number of a new beginning. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't. Where does that come from now? That is a new fact for me.
Oh, okay, good. Because seven is the completion. So we got seven right. this mm-hmm. and seven that. Now, on the next day is the start of a new thing.
Okay.
So when you see any kind of stuff like that, like after 7 days, that's the completion of the week. Well, on the eighth mm-hmm. day, it starts the next week.
It begins again.
It's the new beginning.
Okay. Gotcha.
So anytime you see the number eight, it's a new beginning.
Okay.
So it's a shadow of the vessel of salvation. And I would bring it to this level too, because we have people say, that's Jesus. And us Christians, we get into the ark of Christ. Well, let me fine tune that a little bit. Because Enoch walked with God
mm-hmm.
and he was taken up before the destruction, before all the chaos came. He was raptured up.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a type and a pattern where he was taken up. But the Jews that were here that will start the new civilization were protected through the destruction. Mm-hmm. So Enoch was taken up before the destruction because he walked with God.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's cool.
Noah and his family were actually protected through it. Okay. And it was two different purposes for everything.
Okay.
So people say, it was only one man that, Enoch. Well, yeah, it's one new man in Christ, too. It's the body of Christ.
Yeah, I had never connected that before, mm-hmm. that he was taken. I mean, that's clear in the Bible. But I had never really put it together that he was taken before the ark.
Yeah.
That is cool. That is a perfect representation of the rapture. It really is. And what goes on. That's perfect, David. Thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. And it was, it was a little bit of time before the destruction came too,
mm-hmm.
which is why we're looking for Jesus to come now in the rapture, because this is the last year. This is the Jubilee year that we just mm-hmm. came into.
Mm-hmm.
And in Nisan 1 here, it's the Jubilee year of the next to last Jubilee. So in other mm-hmm. words, next year starts the 50-year cycle again,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which means this Jubilee year now, and the Jubilee is the restoration of all things, it's going to be a type and a pattern. So we're going to see a lot of restoration stuff. And we even see that politically around the world. And it's causing chaos, mm-hmm. and it's the two sides are increasingly getting bigger and bigger.
Right.
So you see good things rising up, and you see bad things rising mm-hmm. up, both of them getting bigger and bigger because
yeah.
of the restoration year. Mm-hmm. But that's just a catalyst for the final Jubilee, and the final Jubilee is where all this cool stuff happens. All the
yeah.
prophecies start to come down.
Yeah.
And everything happens in that final Jubilee year, and we could possibly be taken out near the beginning of it, mm-hmm. similar to the way Enoch was
mm-hmm.
and similar to the way Jesus was taken up in Acts chapter 1. It was 30 some odd years before the destruction of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Almost 40 years before the destruction of the temple.
We are living in the last days. There's no doubt about
yeah.
that.
So the rapture is becoming more and more imminent mm-hmm. as we go. And we see this as the pattern, because they're going to have to take some time to build the ark, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the preppers that are out there, because, mm-hmm. As rapture folk, as rapture believers, prepping is a good idea just because of storms. And look what happened in Spain this past week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Spain and Portugal, the entire electric grid went down. The whole country was out electric. So you mm-hmm. do have to prepare for that stuff. But preparing for the apocalypse, I'm not going to waste my time.
Me either.
Jesus said that he's coming before that. And, you know, if they want to blow up my city, there's not a whole lot I can do about it. A nuclear blast would be fun and interesting for that split second. And then I'll be with Jesus.
There you go. Yeah.
So I'm not worried about apocalypse stuff so much. Regular preparation, yes. Yeah. You know, you need all that good stuff.
Yeah.
The apocalypse one, not so much. However, I'm not mad at the preppers that are prepping for the apocalypse because they will have to be here.
Yeah,
for that 7-year period.
But they also need to be aware that you know, there's more to their future than just prepping for a few years. They need to be prepping for their eternity too. So,
and you better. And you know, God has given some of them to be tribulation saints, and that's what it is. And we can't be mad at them if they. Not for nothing, I'm not mad at you if you don't think the rapture is going to happen afterward. You might be called to be a tribulation saint. And I'm not mad at the Jews for, you know, for this or that or the other. They will repent and they will return to Christ. And that's what he said. So we see all this, and this is the symbolism of that, because, and so now I see the people of Noah, they're preparing the temple. They're preparing all these different things because they're going to have to be protected through that entire period.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, it does have three different levels. So there's parallels of the lower level is sin and death. The middle level is humanity. The upper level is the ascension, you know, into it. Even Paul talks about the third heaven. That's interesting. People speculate on what he's talking about when he says the third heaven. So does that mean, okay, the heaven is like the sky, and then the heaven where like the angels dwell, and then the upper heaven, which is the glory, the holy of holies, if you would. Or is there actually three heavens that are way out there? I think it's the first one where this, you know, the heavens, we consider that the sky, if you would.
Yeah. Sky, space.
Yep. The outer court, the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. Because that's that. And then even the Psalms speak of that. You know, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, and then I will enter his courts with praise. Okay. And that's what he's talking about. The gates are the outer court. So, hey, everyone can come in. How do I get into the, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Okay, you can come into this court. Now, if you praise him, you can get a little closer. And now when Jesus comes, now he lets us into the Holy of Holies.
Yeah, there you go.
So you got that three levels there too. You know, and so you got and that's also analogous to, now you have Hades or hell. Is the lower level. The middle level is the earth where we dwell, and the upper level is where, you know, we'll rule for eternity when Christ returns. So the heaven earth Sheol model as well. So there's typology there. Do you like that one?
Yeah, I do. And you know, I was kind of looking over here and cheating and looking at your notes on this too. And the body, soul, and spirit. I wanted to point everybody to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, because that discusses that that point that David was making.
Let's read it, shall we?
Okay, yes.
Oh, someone moved it.
I don't have my Bible Gateway open today, David, so I got to wait for you.
All right, so where were it? Oh, my God. A lot of times I get
it's 1 Thessalonians
wrong.
Chapter 5. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah. Okay. 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, I pray. God, your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless till the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the analogy there. It's analogous to the three levels are your spirit, which is the real you,
right?
Your soul, which is your, you know, thoughts and emotions, and then your body. And fortunately, he's going to give us new bodies.
Yeah, fortunately, because I'm
our spirits are already made new.
Yeah, I'm about done with this body. I can tell you that.
Yeah, our soul disconnects the two. Yeah, that's always fun. Then we have the, there's numbers embedded in the ark as well.
Okay.
So it talks about the 300 cubits, and there's a few places where it says that Gideon's 300 defeat the Midianites.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in Judges chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then Samson caught 300 foxes.
Mm.
And that's a foreshadowing of God's intervention using small, faithful remnants.
Okay.
So that's interesting there. It's 100 times 3.
Yeah.
So you got the 100 and you got the 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the 300. So basically, yeah, God could take your little bit and use it to defeat. Because how many did he have in Judges? It was up over like thousands of people, like 10,000. He's like, no, cut them down. All right, now the people who drink out of the water with their heads up, you know, lick and do this.
Yeah.
And it's wild.
Yeah,
so he pours them down and says, I'm going to defeat all your enemies with just this little bunch. And then the same thing with the foxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll get into this in the second half, but there's 50 cubits, and that's the number of Jubilee. We were just talking about that. It's also the Pentecost.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize is that after Pentecost, there's the oil 50 days later, and then the next Jubilee, and then the grape harvest in the 50 days. And those are two more feast days that no one ever talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's why we see that in Revelation. Don't hurt the oil and the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then 30 is an age of spiritual maturity and service.
Yeah.
So Jesus began his ministry at 30. The Levites, they were told that from 30 to 50, basically, that's your priestly duties.
Mm-hmm.
So this points to the ark as a place of prepared maturity.
So, and you'll probably have to go more into the second half with this, but doesn't a rabbi have to be 30 years old before they can assume that title?
That's what the Levites are. They were the rabbis.
Yeah, which is the reason, at least that's the way I was taught, the reason why we don't read about Jesus until he's 30 years old. Because he becomes a rabbi at that point, or teacher, whatever you want.
So. Yeah, and that's when his ministry began, at 30, because that's when he officially became a rabbi.
Right.
They even asked him, hey, rabbi.
Yeah, he stayed within the law. Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
he kept it perfectly. So.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all stable. So if you want to come with us, I would suggest that you receive Christ so you can come up like Enoch before all this destruction happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we're definitely going to take a look at some of this. Lord willing, we'll see you guys in the second half. So if you haven't received Jesus, receive him now, and we'll see you then.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And we are back. All right, we're getting close to the rapture, but it didn't happen yet.
James. Not yet.
All right, we're still looking. All right, and I'll look. If it's another 50 years from now, that's fine. I'll still be looking.
Me too. So even though in 50 years, I'm going to already be there, and I'll just be waiting.
Yeah, we'll already be done. But we'll still be looking because we'll be on the other side waiting for our new bodies too. Mm-hmm. That's what most people don't realize. No matter where you are, you'll be still looking for the new bodies. Mm-hmm. We'll be with Christ immediately afterwards, but then we get the new bodies at the resurrection.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out exactly how that works, hovering around out there somewhere. But, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Do we just, like, float around? Mm-hmm. I've seen some people with NDEs, right?
Well, you remember how in the Bible it says, you know, that they're, I think, under the altar or something like that, yelling, you know, how long?
Right,
and
that's the Revelation, the Tribulation Saints, yeah.
Yeah, how long? How long? Well, come on, let's go.
Right, so since that's after the rapture, right now it's clear that, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But after the rapture, it's going to go back to the way it was, where, you know, they had to hang out in the nice part of Hades until they came and got them. So it's mm-hmm. going to go back to that. Yeah. And they're going to have to hang out mm-hmm. for a little bit because they're not resurrected till the end of the tribulation period.
Yeah, I hope they got a good basketball hoop down there. That would be cool.
Yeah, or maybe some cards.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you know what? They probably got like Mahjong. that takes a while. Definitely Monopoly game.
Yeah, for real.
I got 17 hotels on Boardwalk. We've been here a little bit.
Oh, man.
You can't have 17.
Whatever it is, it's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be cool. They'll be like, how long? They didn't sound like they were in distress either.
No.
They were just like, this is going to be cool. Yeah. So we were talking about the numbers mm-hmm. and their meanings before we were rushed off because of radio timing. So let's jump back into that, the appearances of the numbers in the Bible and how it relates to Noah's Ark.
Okay.
And the size. So we were talking about the appearances of 300. I know we mentioned Gideon's 300 warriors, and I had said there was like 10,000. It was actually 32,000.
Okay.
So Gideon's like, yay, I got 32,000 soldiers. This is going to be great. And God's like, nah, why you got so many? You got to pay them. You got to feed them. You don't need that. So he goes through this whole rigmarole, and basically at the end of it, you know, he's run over here, do this, do that. And whoever did this, that you get rid of half of them, you know, like a ninja warrior kind of a thing. And at the end, they said, okay, go get a drink. And then there was men who actually dumped their head down into the water to drink. Mm-hmm. And then there's the 300 that actually picked the water up with their hands and drank mm-hmm. it like a cat or a dog mm-hmm. while they were looking around. And he's like,
oh,
okay,
yeah, I remember that. I remember reading that. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he says, okay, those are the ones I want.
Yeah.
Because those are the ones who are really, you know, it's like when I go into a restaurant, I always want to sit facing the entrance door.
Me too.
Yeah. And I always want to see who's coming in and going out. You know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think they train you that in the military too, but I just kind of did that. I just want to know. I don't want my back to the door. Who knows who's coming in?
I'm real paranoid about that. I will make that clear. I am.
So the its victory over Midian came not by might, but by obedience and trust in God. Mm-hmm. So it's and that speaks to, now imagine going 32,000 down to 300.
Yeah.
And then Jesus talks about the road is narrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
You ain't kidding. There's a remnant. Uh-huh. And it's a very small remnant. And that's amazing, because we talk about, there's millions of Christians and this and that and the other. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many are going.
A fraction. You know, in this case, what was that, 10% or just?
Way less than that. Less than 1%. Let's dig that out.
Just to where we clarify all this, what they are doing is they're about to go and face an army, right? I mean, they're about they're about to go to war against and this isn't like F troop. I mean, this isn't a little big group of people here that they're going to go fight. This is a substantial army, from what I remember.
Exactly. It's actually 0.9375%.
Boy, not even 1%. Wow.
Not even 1%. Mm-hmm. So I surmise that he put that in there for a reason, because if it's weird, it's there for a reason. Mm-hmm. If it's weird, it's important, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So imagine that, if 0.9375% of the people that call themselves Christians today are actually the ones that are saved and taken in the rapture. Maybe that's why there's so much of a big push against it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's going to be such a small amount that people are going to say, see, I told you, mm-hmm. you know, it didn't really happen.
Yeah,
but they're going to be one of the 32,000 and mm-hmm. not the 300. Mm-hmm.
And for anybody that may be following us along here in the Bible, you need to look at Judges chapter 7, and specifically into verses 6 and 7.
Because it's fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm. And that is a good one.
Get this. Now, here's another one. Mm-hmm. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was like 65 when he became saved. He was doing his studying, and he's walking with God. He's talking with the Lord. He goes up and he's interceding for the fallen watchers. He's doing all sorts of wild stuff. Mm-hmm. He's writing all these things down. He did write his book and his prophecies. Mm-hmm. And God's like, listen, you're here all the time. You might as well just stay. So,
yeah,
it's kind of where I want to be. Mm-hmm. But it's prophetic, because now, again, it ties in with the 300. So mm-hmm. at 365, he was taken up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's what we talked about, a prophetic type of the raptured believer mm-hmm. that we see. And actually, let's look up Hebrews 11:5. That should be fun.
Okay. And while he's doing that, I'll remind you guys that Enoch, the story there is in Genesis 5, chapter 22. Just trying to keep everybody, and I know there are people out there that are opening their Bible and they're following along, so I want to make sure that they have those references.
Yeah, and I seem to forget that not everybody knows where this stuff is. I just know where it is. Oh, it's over here. Yeah, that one looks good. I forget. I got to tell you where it is. Hebrews, it talks about this. Mm-hmm. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found because God and not found because God had translated him. Mm-hmm. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Mm-hmm. So God was happy with him, so he took mm-hmm. him up. Mm-hmm. And so there's another piece of the puzzle, of the rapture puzzle, we'll call mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And he was translated before the destruction came. Before the judgment on the world of the flood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a significant period before the flood. It wasn't like the day before.
Right.
Because Methuselah lived till 969. And Methuselah means, you know, his death will bring, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's signifying that when he dies, that's when the judgment will come. And that's why they waited 7 days, because that was at 7 days of mourning for Methuselah, if you read some other books with history in it. So God closed the door, and then they waited 7 days because it was the mourning time for Methuselah. But that was it. And then the floods came, you know, and then the people were somewhat surprised.
Shocked
at what was happening on the earth. And we always get these pictures, Joe, of and it's all the Sunday school pictures, right? They got this cute little boat and the elephants hanging over the side. And it's like, no. And you're destroying the faith of kids, because now they think it's a kid's story, and it's not. All right? But we always get the story, oh, it just started raining. Drip, 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 drip. And as we know, that's not how it happened.
No. No, it would
have
been a
deluge. The whole earth was violently shaken. Mm-hmm. The fountains broke up, and they shot out. So it wasn't just, oh, all of a sudden it started raining out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Okay? Those fountains shot up and started to melt the canopy. So... Mm-hmm. A better picture of that was here. He's got this crazy big, you know, rectangle shaped box that he's in with all these animals that just randomly came out of nowhere. Okay. All these random baby animals came from all over the land and then parked themselves and went inside the ark, you know? And then, so you can imagine what these people are starting to think.
Yeah.
What is he talking about? You know? And it didn't start to rain. Then you get the pictures. You ever see them? And they're like this on the rock. Oh, climbing up to the rock. I think most of them were, I think the vast majority of them were destroyed before the rain even like came down to that point, just because of the massive earthquake that must have happened to crack the earth. You know? And then all the flood coming out of the ground. Doing all that imagine how hot that must have been.
I'm just imagining
melting the canopy, and then all of a sudden a quick freeze on on the poles. Just instant freeze, like they found woolly mammoths frozen solid that were just eating. They're like how do you quick freeze a mammoth? That's got to be cold. I mean, it takes 4 hours just to get my hamburgers to freeze in the freezer. You know, just a little block of ground beef. Imagine quick freezing a mammoth while he's eating.
Wow.
That's cold.
Uh-huh.
So there's 300 there with Enoch, okay? And then we got, we talked about Samson's 300 foxes. Okay. And so the judgment was brought for them as well, wasn't it? Because remember, so here's Samson. You remember the story or no?
Most of it. Yeah, most of it.
So he's down in right in Gaza over here now, you know? And so he's in that same area where they're, you know, telling lies about Hamas and all that stuff. So he's down there and he's fighting against the Philistines. And in one of the episodes, he's like, I'm going to mess with them. So he gets 300 foxes. Ties these wheat to their tails, lights them on fire, and then scares the foxes, and they're running through all the fields. Sets the entire place on fire. Okay? It's like, this guy's cool. He reminds me of Anatoly. Ever see Anatoly? He's the weightlifter guy. He's very unassuming, and he always lifts more weights than everyone else.
I think so.
Yeah, and he dresses up like a janitor. Yeah. Do you mind if I try? Yeah. All right, and he's lifting like 14,000 pounds over there. So this was Samson. So he's over there, and now he just sets all their fields on fire, and he ruins all their grain. And so there's judgment again. It was Samson pouring out the judgment of God on it. So he uses these unconventional means, but again, it's the number. So it's a number of judgment. Okay. Enoch, when he was the, when he did walk for that 300 years, he was judging the watchers. So it came that part too. And then another one is interesting. The ointment. Remember Jesus goes to the dude's house, one of the Pharisees' house, and then the, now, at that time, if the lady had her hair down, it meant she was a prostitute.
She
was like, yeah, it was like a sign for her wares. And they, but they all covered their heads. They walked around, they covered their hair because that was private. The belief back then was that was part of your sexual organs, and that would cause it. And that's why he talked about, you know, when he said, "Oh, don't show your hair because of the angels." Remember that when Paul was talking about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, "What are you talking about? Because of the angels?" Well, it turns out it was the that was the beautiful part, and they were advertising, and that's when the fallen angels came down. So he's like, "You got to be modest." So if a woman had her hair out back then, it was she was advertising her wares, if you will.
Okay.
Which is some of the reason a lot in different sections of the Jews here wear wigs. You won't see them with their regular hair. It's like,
oh wow, okay.
And they're a lot of money. It's $3,000-$4,000 for some of these wigs.
Wow. Okay.
And it's like, but that's hair too. Yeah, but we want it to look like hair, but not be our hair. It's like, okay, now that's what Jesus is talking about. Yeah,
I guess it's okay if you wear somebody else's hair. Or something.
Or somebody else's hair, because you're advertising their wares instead. Anyway, that's just me making fun of people. But it was 300 denarii, okay? Or the King James called it pence, but it was 300 denarii. And that's what, and it's funny because it was Judas that complains.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, he didn't want to.
Like,
he was the treasurer of the disciples, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy that had all the cash, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's sidebar into that in a minute. Remind me to go back into Judas and the treasurer.
Okay. All right.
Why was it? So this lady comes in. And she's a prostitute, but she repents. And she's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And she takes her hair. She's cleaning Jesus' feet. And she uses his really expensive oil. You know, she's got this oil because she's a prostitute. She wants to smoke.
Right.
And now she's pouring it on his feet, which is hugely, you know, it's sacrificial.
Mm-hmm.
It's a preparation for burial because that's what they did because the body would stink. So they pour the oil on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as so many things, and it just showed how much she worshiped him. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that was worth 300 denarii or basically that's how many days they would work a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a year's wages.
Wow.
But it was 300.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was costly. It was like a year's worth of salary. But let's sidebar into this. And it's so it symbolizes complete devotion, too. So the judgment comes and now it's complete devotion in Christ. But Judas, people say Jesus was poor. You ever heard that?
Yes, many times. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question and you're going to answer as if you're one of our viewers.
Okay.
Do you really think Jesus was poor?
From my early knowledge, I believed it wholeheartedly, yes.
Mm-hmm. And why was that?
Because he just wasn't supposed to have money. And because he encouraged people to just give all their money away and just follow him. And that they were basically just put up wherever they could find a place to be. That's my best answer.
Right. So, and that's typically what we're taught. That was taught by the middle-aged church because the middle-aged church says, oh, well, since you're not supposed to have money, you should give it all to us.
Hmm. Yeah.
And that's where they came up with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the disciples weren't poor. None of them were poor. Matter of fact, they were surprised when he said, hey, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. Did it say all the disciples said, oh, yeah, that makes sense?
No.
He said all the disciples were shocked.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's the whole thing. The whole idea of the kingdom is wealth and riches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's start here. Since it's talking about Judas, what was Judas's job? You just mentioned it.
He was treasurer. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Does one have a treasurer to carry the money bag around if he doesn't have any money?
No.
Okay. So he probably had money.
Yeah. And see, the way that I always equated that is that people would give their money to, in this case, Judas, or at least it trickled down to him as they were helping Jesus move through different places. That's how I was.
Yeah, that's how you're taught. But yeah. Then let's add this.
Mm-hmm.
What else was Judas known for?
Besides the betraying Judas?
It's in the narrative here too.
Okay, well, I'm cheating.
Why did he complain about it? Why did he complain about?
Oh, because we would have been able to get all this money to more people that deserved it or something.
It could have been sold and then to poor. Mm-hmm. Now, why would he care about that?
He really didn't. But what he cared about was the fact that he had the money, and at some point, I think, in his mind, and this is conjecture on my part, in his mind, he thought that at some point he was going to take that money and run. That's just my personal opinion.
Exactly. All right? Because let's read John 12:6.
Okay.
And I'll read it in the New American Standard. It said, "Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it."
Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay. Okay.
So Judas was a thief, and he was stealing from the money bag. So let's put this whole thing together.
Okay.
Now, Jesus had his 12 disciples, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there were more. Wasn't there 70?
I don't remember the count, but I know there was a bunch of them. Yeah.
There was more because he sent the 70 out, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, there was a whole bunch, but there was the 12 main ones. He's like, he had his main crew, the 12, right. and they did the stuff.
I called
but
the
there was other
ones,
people that went around and did things.
Yeah, I called the other ones, you know, like the tag-alongs. What did they call that in the groupies?
The entourage.
Groupies, like, you know.
Groupies, groupies.
Yeah.
Now, back then, you know, you didn't just, hey, let's get on the bus and all go over here. Mm-hmm. No, they walk from town to town.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to feed this entourage.
Every day.
Okay, so he had to feed them. He had to house them. You know, he didn't have a house. No, it was that one night. If you look at that whole scenario, they were on their way to a place to speak. And then word got out that he was coming and he was healing people, so they canceled him. And then that's when the guy came up and said, "I'll follow you anywhere." And he says, "Well, listen, this is what happens. Mm-hmm. Tonight, we don't have anywhere to go. It's not like they could just jump on the train and head back home."
Mm-hmm.
They're like, "We're stuck out here in the wilderness. And foxes have holes and birds have nests, but we don't have any place to stay tonight."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "This is what life is like. Are you willing to do that? Because that's what we're doing." Mm-hmm. He didn't say it in of a house, because in the early... in the book of John, two of John the Baptist's disciples came, and he says, "Where do you live?" And he said, "Come on, I'll show you." And they spent the whole day there, and they had tea and crumpets.
And they to this day, I know this because I had a pastor go over to Israel. Peter had a house that was right across from the temple, actually. And he they went in there and took a bunch of pictures. You know, I mean, it's the remnants of the thing, right? I mean, you know, the walls are only like 2 feet off the ground or something, but you know, that was his old house.
Yeah. And they all had houses and they all had money. He was a businessman. Peter was a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew was a tax collector, which means he had a lot of money.
He had a lot of money.
Okay. Uh-huh. He wasn't autistic like they show on Chosen. Sorry. Chosen's heretical.
Yeah. Right.
He wasn't autistic. He was a tax collector, and he had to be super smart and super, he had to engage with people.
Yeah, he was probably a big thief too.
He can't engage with people.
He was probably a big thief too at one point. I mean,
yeah, because he was a tax collector.
Right, exactly.
And they all were, and that's why they didn't like him.
Yeah, they charged extra.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then so there's that. So he's got a supply for this entourage, and Judas is pilfering money out of the box, just like it said, and no one noticed.
Right,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, and Jesus knew it, but he didn't care. It was the way it was supposed to be.
And he had all that money, and it didn't matter anyway, because remember when Peter erroneously told him that they paid taxes? He's like, "Well, I'm not taking it out of my box. You go fishing. You catch the first fish you catch, you pay." But that didn't say he didn't have it. And then you know what happened when they fed the 5,000? What's the first question they asked?
Don't remember.
Okay, so they're like, "Oh, these people have been walking out here 5,000
we're gonna have to go to
Yeah. Did they say, "Oh man, where are we gonna get all this food?" Or anything like that? They said, "No, there's no stores around here to go buy anything."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They didn't say, hey, we don't have enough money to buy everything. They mm-hmm. just assumed they were going to go buy the food, but there was no stores around.
Mm, yeah, no place
to buy. How were they
going
to do that? Because mm-hmm. they had the money. Mm-hmm. You got to read the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had the money. But let's start way at the beginning. Okay. You know, Jesus is born, and then, you know, the Magi come. They spend 2 years traveling through the desert with an entourage so they don't get robbed to bring the king of all kings. Mm-hmm. What do they bring him?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Myrrh, yeah. You think they brought him like one little gold coin?
Oh, no. Probably bags and bags. Of
yeah, because when you mm-hmm. when you're presenting to a king, you give everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the king of kings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they spent 2 years walking through the desert to get it to him.
Yeah, okay. they had guards better than
yeah.
Trump.
Yeah, and not only that, Herod was terrified of them. Herod was the ruler.
Mm-hmm.
He had all the armies at this. He was terrified of them because they had enough people in their entourage to make this born king of the Jews guy the mm-hmm. king.
Yeah.
That's why he was terrified. You know, and
yeah.
that was the prophecy. There was one because Herod was an Edomite and he didn't have a rightful heir to he wasn't a rightful heir to be the king of Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like he was. So he was terrified when he heard this king was coming because they brought the kingmakers with them,
yeah.
which means they brought the army and all the money they needed. And then they took all that money and they gave it to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people are so retarded to say, oh, it's a good thing they brought that money because Joseph had to escape to Egypt, so he had enough money to do it. We're talking millions of dollars, folks. And Joseph is not an embezzler. He didn't
yeah.
steal Jesus' money.
Right.
Stop
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. So he was rich from the beginning. And the Bible mm-hmm. even says, though he was rich, he became poor on the cross
mm-hmm.
that we might have those riches as well.
Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he's talking about.
There
so,
go.
Yeah, Judas stole that money, and they still had more than enough. There's so mm-hmm. much that says that Jesus was very wealthy on the earth, but it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have any money, money's important to you.
Right.
If you got money coming out the wazoo, money's not important. You can focus
right.
on people.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's as simple as that, and mm-hmm. and that's what it was. And even with the rich young ruler, like you talked about, he says, you know, you just didn't want to let go of your riches because that's where your heart is.
Right.
He says, but anyone who gives up their riches and follows me, they'll get 100 times in this life and eternal life in the mm-hmm. in the afterlife. The
right. Mm-hmm.
So that's that. Mm-hmm. So we got a little bit into the numbers. And now we're
we got a long, yeah, we got a long way to go on this. And David even sent me a couple of charts of where we're going. We didn't even touch that yet. So, yes, there is going to be a another edition of this, and I hope you guys are following it because it, you know, it's just incredibly informative, and I mean I've learned a lot, and I know that everybody out there that's following it has as well. Looking forward to next week now, David.
In the meantime, we're gonna have a couple other shows, maybe an exciting new guest that's coming on. We're trying
mm-hmm.
to do some scheduling now.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be fun either way. But the biggest guest that we want you to see is the King of Kings. He's
Amen.
Coming, and he's going to be dressed up really nice. So
Amen.
Probably want to clean up and get ready for him. But he died for you, so I would accept that payment and say, I love you, Jesus. Lord willing, we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.